Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Sacred Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have the juiciest interview with Holly and Bridget from Girls Next Door with everything that's happened since, all the inside scoop. You're going to die. It gets real, real. Before we get to that, I just want to cover a follow-up on the whole Alabama, known as Bama Rush, sorority rush. Out of Alabama, they had bid day, so either the girls were cheering and were happy, or they're crying, or they're transferring schools, or they got their second choice. It's done. It happened Sunday. What broke on Friday is that my Annie, who was a sorority girl, she was a Kappa Kappa Gamma at the University of Mississippi, texted me with some real juicy scoop, and I go, get on it. I'm going to explain this story as best I can. Okay, you tell me how I do, Annie. So there were... apparently, there was a suspicion that microphones were being sent in to record conversations for HBO Max from Vice Studios that was supposedly doing something with HBO Max. Now, when I first heard this, I was like, okay, wait a minute. That means that they had to find girls that were already enrolled in Alabama who'd be willing to put on a mic and go through Rush and send that recordings to Vice Studios so they could either make a documentary, make a scripted show. I'm thinking, was it a mic? Could it have been like a little body cam cop, like what a cop would have? I don't know. And I thought that was a little hard to do because I'm like, you would have to find someone that was willing to do this and possibly jeopardize their own chance of being in a sorority. And I think if someone was a cute type of sorority type girl, and she's going to a place like Alabama, which is a big sorority fraternity place, most likely she would want to rush. But they believe that this was happening, and that this one girl, I saw her TikTok, she said she got kicked out because she took a hair tie and put it around her shirt, and they had heard this rumor, the girls at Alabama, and they're like, oh my God, you're a mole. You're like a cop that's like, you know, are you mic'd like the mafia? Get the fuck out. Like, you're what happened? And they kick her out, and she got dropped from Sorority Rush on suspicion that she might have been, you know, a little worker for HBO Max. Now, this one girl said, her name's Emily Limbaugh, and she's 23. She graduated from the University of Alabama in August. She was an alpha phi there, and she said she was contacted via Instagram DM by a woman who identified herself as a producer from Vice Studios working on a documentary for HBO Max, and she thought it was super sketchy that the direct message came from an unverified account with no profile pic, and the account seems to have been deactivated. Now, the PNMs, what does PNM stand for? Oh, potential new member. We never called them that. Really? I think we just called them like Rushies or whatever. They were told not to post Rush TikToks, and also, well, a little too late for that, also not to talk to reporters if they came to the school, or else they'd be dropped from recruitment. Now, what I thought was juicy on Friday is that Annie told me that at University of Mississippi, she heard through the grapevine that the sorority girls there that were doing Rush, maybe they were a little bit behind Bama.
We don't do it until next week.
Okay, so they're starting next week, and this is their work week, meaning they get all their stuff together to give the greatest show and get the best girls. And they heard about this, and they were having people come in and teach them how to spot a girl who might have a mic or be mic'd. So here's what I'm thinking. Whether this is true or not, I think it's a juicy story to make a whole nother scripted movie about someone wanting to do a documentary about Sorority Rush. Maybe the girl's like a little genius and her mom's in entertainment, and the two of them are like, you know what? We're going to make it in Hollywood. You're going to go and act like you're going to get into Alabama, you're going to act like you're into this, and you're going to do a whole year as a mole, and you're going to be collecting stories, and you're going to be doing secret recordings and writing in your notes section and recording people and all this stuff. And then, like, at the end, the girls, she really ends up loving the girls. She was out there going to come and be like, these girls are awful people. This is a, you know, an old-fashioned awful people place for pretty people who are mean. And then in the end, she realizes they're all really lovely and they all really care about each other. And then she's like, I don't know what to do. Hollywood's calling and my mom, and we're about to like sell this big thing to Netflix. And I'm going to be like the next little girl version of Steven Spielberg. Or I found a boy I like and a sisterhood I love. There you go. There you go. You'll be watching it while getting your hair dried out at the dry bar in about 6 years from now. Very juicy. Okay, you guys, I hope you have gone to heathermcdonald.net. I hope you have gotten your tickets to my live Juicy Scoop shows. They are selling really fast. I'm in a ton of cities. Anyway, it's all right there. And you want to go there because those are the direct links. They'll get you the best possible tickets for the best price. That's where you want to go, heathermcdonald.net. And now for my juicy interview. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I'm very excited. I have lots of questions for my two fabulous guests. It's Holly and Bridget, known best from The Girls Next Door. Now you guys are back because I'm very excited about your new show.
Thank you.
Going to watch back the episodes together and let us know what's real, what's not, what was happening in your brain, what was being portrayed. Very excited. Welcome to Juicy Scoop.
Thank you. Yeah, we have a new podcast. It's called Girls Next Level, and we will be going back and watching all the episodes and letting everybody know what was real and what was fake and all the drama behind the scenes and everything. So there's a lot to get into.
So, I mean, I've had you on the show before, you know, and I've never met you, Bridget. Yes. I watched the show in the heyday of E.
Yeah.
And, you know, being on Chelsea Lately, we would, like, follow it and discuss it a lot. And I actually remember the first time I was even introduced to you. I was listening to a regular radio show. I was driving around at night. I don't know what the show was, but they're like, and we're talking to Holly, who's Hef's girlfriend. And this was before the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, and the way you like told the story of like, oh, I was just at the pool one day or something. And he started to talk to, like, what is the story? How did you meet Hef?
Well, I had been invited to the parties at the mansion. I was doing a Hawaiian Tropics thing, and like Hef's doctor went there, and he wanted to invite all the girls from the contest to the mansion, like put them on the list for the party. And I was so excited because back then, those parties were like the hottest ticket in town, and not just anybody could get in. So I was super excited. And from there, I got in. I know, but you're cool.
I would go to the party, but it was a fun cool thing to do. And it was like Hollywood Elite, and it was gorgeous, and I never saw anything creepy when I was there at those parties, and that was end of 90s, so I don't know,
early 2000s,
or I just was too focused on the free lamb chops.
I don't know.
So you're at the mansion for the as a hot tropic girl.
Yeah, or just like a random girl.
Just a pretty girl. Okay, all right.
And from there, I got put on the list to go to the pool parties they would have every Sunday. And that was like a smaller, more intimate group. And I would go to those every Sunday and like make friends there. And everybody just seemed so nice, all of his friends. And after a while, that kind of started to feel like a community I was a part of a little bit. And then I got into a place in my life where I had nowhere to live. Like just all this crazy stuff had happened in my life. And I was like, you know what? He has a spot open as one of his girlfriends. So maybe I should move in here. Like it sounds crazy, but it didn't feel like that much of a stretch at the time for me.
And at that time when you said he has a spot open, had you guys already been intimate at least once?
No. What had happened is I'd been invited to go out with them a few times. So I always kind of thought in the back of my head, like, oh, maybe if I wanted to be a girlfriend, maybe it could be an option. But it wasn't really anything I thought I would do or ever have the balls to do if I wasn't kind of like desperate for a place to live. So I approached him and I was like, oh, I'd love to go out with you guys maybe this week or something. And he was like, okay, well, I'll have my secretary call you. And it just happened from there.
Okay. So then, you know, we kind of know from the show and stuff that you got to bone him.
Yeah.
Right? You got to bone him with the other girls. Mm-hmm. And once that happened, then were you just like, well, I guess I'll make the best of this. And then
absolutely.
Yeah. Once you've gone that far, it's like, I'm going to stick around for this. Like I put, like I compromised that, you know.
And now, how did you meet him? And like, where did the years collide where you guys met? Before the show started.
Well, you moved in and started coming out with Hef maybe like 9 months after I moved in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was pretty close.
And what was your story? Were you like just a cute girl at the parties or what happened?
I had met him way before. I had tested for a playmate. They brought me out to the mansion and did like the full test and everything. Mm-hmm. So I had spent like 3 days there and I met him. And then I didn't get it. I didn't find out for a year and a half that I didn't get it. And I never went back to the mansion in that time because I didn't know I could.
And were you living in L.A. that time?
No. Oh. I was living in Northern California.
Okay.
Desperately wanting to be in L.A. and wishing I could go to the parties and, like, yeah. be a part of all of that kind of thing. And then one day somebody told me, oh, you know, if you tested before, you could go to the parties. And I was like, wait, what? So,
like, I missed out a year and a half.
I did. And some of the best years of Playboy parties, too, because I tested at the end of 98. So, like, 99 and 2000, like, those are the parties I was missing.
You missed me.
The prime time.
Then people know the story, but I got married, and I got invited to the New Year's Eve party, mm-hmm. which was 2000. Mm. And it was, we had the seven girlfriends. And so I called to RSVP, and normally I'd bring a girlfriend that then I'd have to send in her photo or whatever. But if I had a girlfriend that was already approved, then she could come with me over time. And I was like, well, now I'd like to have a different guest this time. It's my husband, but he's really cool and fun. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Oh,
and she was like, yeah, this is a singles party. It just hung up on me. And I was invited again.
Oh, no! My God.
And I was like, so bummed because honestly, my husband's the most non-jealous person in the world. Yeah. And I don't know if I would have spent New Year's Eve without him, but like I could have gone to the one in April or Halloween or whatever. He wouldn't have cared with a girlfriend, mm-hmm. but because I was in the business and it was like, whatever, get mm-hmm. some. So anyway, continue. So you missed me at the parties. You start coming down.
Yeah, I start coming out. The first party I get invited to is Midsummer's of 2000. Mm. Which was incredible and amazing. And then I just really had the bug. Like, I really want to be here. I really want to be doing this. I finally just, like, took my savings and moved to L.A. and was able, through, you know, the contacts, to just be able to come to Fun in the Sun and buffet dinner and movie. And Hef called one time in March and asked me to if I wanted to go out with him and the girls. And I was like, oh, no. I've heard, like stories about what goes on. And no, I'm not. I just really want to be.
Oh, you said no?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I just really want to be a playmate. That's why I'm here, like doing stuff for the entertainment industry. I had a broadcast journalism communications degree. So I was auditioning for things and I wanted to be a playmate. But being a girlfriend or going out, like, no, that's not what I had in mind here. And he was very gracious and nice about it. And everything was fine. Then a couple months later, I was like, you know what? Like, nothing had moved in my life, really. And I thought, what do I have to lose? Like, this, I could be missing out on some really cool opportunities. I was watching other girls kind of come and go and all the fun they were having going out. And I thought, why am I, like, not letting myself do this?
So when you're thinking that, you're like, all right, I'm just going to have to hop on and count to 11. And let this be over. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like I don't know if it was that long. Like,
when I finally go out.
How do you, like, just gear yourself and be like, all right, I am going to do this thing, which is not something I'm super excited to be, but, like, who really cares? Like, how do you justify it in your mind of, like, you've been a pretty girl that's probably always had someone age-appropriate boyfriends, and now you're going to go and be with this really older guy, you're going to share him with people, but, like, thank God you're sharing them with people. Like, I'm almost thinking, like, where did you justify it?
I sort of had that in mind. But I was also thinking that I could get out of this for a little while. Like, the first night I was like, I'm not ready yet. So I'm just going to, like, kind of check it out and see what's going on. But I'm not going to do anything I don't want to do.
That's what I thought, too. I never thought I would necessarily have to go the first night or be the first one the first night. Like,
yeah. And it's not like I never would have done it with him, but I wasn't ready at that moment. Mm-hmm. But there's other girls that put pressure on you. Like, she straight up told me, you'll never be invited back if you don't do this tonight. Mm. So then it's like you've put in all this time and all this effort and you've had such a great night. Like, it's really fun going out with Hef and stuff. And you think, wait, do I want this all to end like right now? Plus you've been drinking, plus you're tired and
yeah, you're wasted.
Night,
that's step one.
Everybody yeah. else is doing it. So
and
you kind of
just drinking or are you partaking in some other stuff too?
I was just drinking, but I drank a lot. I was just so nervous that first yeah. night that I was just downing them all night.
Yeah. What was your drink of choice?
Well, this was 2001, so it was vodka cranberry.
Absolutely. Yeah. yeah. Still a great drink.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that drink.
Full
yeah.
of hidden sugar. Yeah. So I wouldn't drink it now. True. But
yeah. You just do the splash now. Yeah. Splash of cranberry, vodka soda.
Vodka yeah. water.
Yeah. Vodka club soda, yeah. Or whatever, Perrier. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, just alcohol as well. Uh-huh. I was offered the Quaalude, but I was like, no, I don't even know. Like, I'd never
and
done anything
like
that.
Quaaludes were, like, not around. Like, Quaaludes were, to me, I heard about Quaaludes, like, in the 80s and, like, 70s. And
you
then,
hear about
like,
them past tense, yeah.
Yeah, like, it wasn't, like, none of our friends were doing it or, you know, like, mm-hmm. so I was like, that must have been kind of weird.
It was definitely weird. Like, I knew what it was, but I have to imagine a lot of girls my age back then probably didn't know what it was. Like, yeah. Wolf of Wall Street wasn't even out then. We didn't even have, like, that cultural touchstone right. to know, like, what a Quaalude does or anything.
Yeah. I had no idea what it was, but I just was like, I've never done anything like that. So I was like, no, I just drank and I smoked a little bit of pot in my past. That's the extent of what I had done. So yeah. I wasn't interested in doing that. But I got in trouble from the other girls for declining it.
You mean they were just pissed?
Yeah, they were like, don't decline it or he'll quit giving it to us.
Oh, so, don't decline the Quaalude. I thought yeah. you meant the dick.
Okay. No.
But I was like, are you sure?
Everybody would have been excited about that.
Yeah.
No, the Quaalude. And so in the future, like I would accept it and just throw it in my purse.
And do you think the girls wanted it just because, again, it just made the whole process just less memorable?
That's what I'm wondering. Either they wanted it to take it or maybe they were like hoarding it and selling it. I have no idea.
I have
like,
no
why
idea
they
either.
Kept wanting to get the Quaaludes, but apparently it was a thing.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
You know what? And at some point, the Quaaludes just stopped, and I don't even know when that was or why that was or anything.
I feel like it was around, like, 2003, 2004. I feel like it's because we didn't have a girl in the group who was, like, a recruiter anymore. So just, like,
a recruiter girls. That would get new girls to come
yes.
in.
Yeah, like a Ghislaine Maxwell type
And you
person.
Feel like the recruiting and getting the new people, again, was, like, taking the heat off of you to sexually satisfy him.
Yeah, and she has more value in the group because he knows she recruits
girls.
So,
and when someone recruits somebody, like, how do you sell me on it? Like let's say I'm the cute girl at the party, and F's like, she's attractive, and he says it to the recruiter. How does the recruiter, like, then come to me, like, and we just, like, role play, like, to get me to be, like, feel me out to see if I'm interested and if I'd be, like, a good, cool person to hang? Like, what do you say to me?
I mean, she was a really fun person with, like, a fun personality. So she could easily just go up to anybody and be like, oh, hey, want a drink? Want to hang out? Blah, blah, blah. And then just escalates from there after somebody's been drinking.
When you offer somebody to come behind the velvet ropes and drink for free with your bottles, unlimited bottle service and dancing with
Oh, at a club, you mean?
Yeah, at a club or at a party.
Okay, or at a Playboy party.
Yeah,
okay.
Like it's really, it's exciting and it's fun and you're behind the velvet ropes and everybody's looking in and you're like one of those people that are there, like VIP and stuff. So I feel like it would be a pretty easy sell.
Yeah,
and do
for
you want
sure.
to come back to the Playboy yeah. Mansion with us? Like,
I also think when you're not used to getting attention like that at a nightclub where people are like, oh my God, it's happened to girlfriends.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's like makes the night 10 times more fun than if you were just with your other pretty girlfriends going out to a nightclub.
Yeah,
you
we
know,
because
it's like
it.
You're a star, you know, and you get that celebrity and everyone's so much nicer to mm-hmm. you. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, people want to see you and like, yeah. I
Nobody
don't think
checks your ID when you walk in.
Yeah, we talk about this on the podcast too. Like yeah. the seas just part when you walk into the club and everybody's in awe.
Right.
That here comes Hef and this gaggle of girlfriends like all walking single file to this roped off area. Sorry.
Yeah.
This roped off area with like you know, 5-6 security people standing at all around it. And
so you go out that night, you go, I guess I have to take my turn.
Yeah.
And then once it's over, I mean, I'm just...
Well, I didn't say, oh, I guess I have to take my turn. I was still just going to watch.
Okay.
And then she was like, aren't you going to... That same girl was like, aren't you going to go? It's like, you need to go. And I was like, I would rather not. And she was like, well, then probably won't be invited back. So then I was like, okay. And I'd seen what everybody else was doing, so I knew that this was like a 10-second thing.
Okay.
I mean, definitely no more than a minute.
Oh, okay.
Would you say?
I mean, my memory is cloudy. I've kind of blocked it, but yeah, I would say you're
it's
right.
Short.
Right.
Everybody's very encouraging.
It's truly teamwork.
It is. It actually is. Yeah. Everyone is very encouraging.
Everyone's just like, we all have to do this together. So, yeah. And is it like, I don't want to be the first. I don't want to be the last. Is number three the best? Like, where is it? If everyone's doing it, is there a time that you'd rather do it or not?
I don't think so. I think everybody
for me
just,
there was.
Oh. I felt like everybody's just trying to get it done as quickly as possible, like the whole process.
Well, once after that first night, like when I tried not to do it, after that I wanted to be first because there was no way I wanted going after other people.
Right, because that was the other thing is they said it was no condoms. So you all could possibly have spread something unintentionally.
You were hoping everyone's in the same situation
and
there is a doctor on staff and you're hoping everybody is being checked out and everybody's being, I say this in quotes, monogamous to that relationship, you know, but you don't know.
Right.
And if there's new girls coming up, which there often were, like I just wanted to be first and be done and... That I felt like that was the cleanest way to be in and out of it.
So then how long were you guys both living in the house together and being part of one? Like, how many girls were there when this opportunity came up to, like, hey, we've been approached to possibly do a reality show? And how did that all come about? How did they sell it to you?
It wasn't like that at all.
Okay.
Well, we both lived there for about 7 years total.
Okay.
And there was a constant turnover of the other women. And Bridget and I had lived there for about 3 years, I think, before Hef kicked everybody else out and Kendra moved in. And then it became just three of us rather than seven, which was a big relief because there was a lot less drama. Mm. And then,
did you always get to have your own bedroom?
No, I had to share with Hef and I had zero privacy ever. I asked him if I could have another room down the hall and he always said no. But there were constantly like secretaries walking in and out of his room all day.
And when did you get chosen to be the girl that lives in the room? And at that time, you were, like, I guess, into it as far as being, like, the number one girl. Like, how did that come about?
I moved into his room about 6 months after I moved in. But we started talking about it almost immediately after I moved in. Because I moved in, and I was kind of the one girl who liked to stay at home and liked to go to the buffet dinners and liked to watch the old movies and stuff. And everybody else who had been there did not want to be the main girlfriend because they know, like, you have to share a room, you're under the microscope, like, you just can't kind of go off and do your own thing as much. So everybody was like, oh, I think you're going to be Hef's new girlfriend. And I had never thought that would be me because I was the youngest in the group. And from what I had seen before, I kind of always assumed the main girlfriend had to be the oldest for whatever reason, just because she had been before. But
and
I was
flattered. Where did that girl go? Like, where did that, once she left and then you were being chosen to take her place, like, how much time was in between? And how did that girl feel and why did she choose to leave at that time?
Well, I think the reason she wanted to be there at all was because she wanted a centerfold in the magazine. So when her centerfold came out, she left. So I don't think she cared. Like,
so she
wanted
her centerfold
to take her place. Yeah.
As like, and she wanted that centerfold because at that time it was such great publicity. Mm-hmm. And it was such a great launching pad for acting roles, being that Pam Anderson and that, and you guys were after Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah.
And so, like,
yeah, we kind of grew up with that. So we thought being a playmate, you could be like the next Pamela Anderson or Anna Nicole Smith or somebody.
Or like an E! News reporter or whatever. Yeah. I got it. Okay. So that girl gets her centerfold. It's over. She's like, see ya.
Yeah, she bails. Okay. So she was happy somebody else was moving in. Like, there wasn't any, like, resistance. She
passed the baton.
Yeah, so to speak.
So then when that happened, you get in the groove. And from what, like, tell me, like, then did you kind of just convince yourself that this was, like, a normal thing and that it was okay? Or, like, when did you... Did you only recently realize, like, how fucked up it was?
Well, I mean, I always knew, obviously, that the situation was so far from normal. But I think that was part of why I was able to make excuses for, like, his bad behavior in the relationship and how he treated me. Because I was already had the mindset like, well, this isn't going to be ordinary and this is kind of like a different special situation. But I would say I realized how messed up everything was right when I decided to leave, which was like 7 years later. It's just because I kind of always blamed all the problems on the other girls. Like, oh, there's so much drama because we're all not getting along, all, you know, and but Hef's the good guy, poor Hef. That was kind of always my mindset the whole time. But when Bridget and Kendra left and it was just going to be me and him, he just started lashing out at me so much and became really verbally abusive. And I just realized, like, the girls were not the problem. I mean, some of them were the problem. Some of them weren't so nice. But they weren't the problem the whole time. He was the problem. So then I left and I tried to, like, file the experience away and just only think about the positive things for a couple years. But after a while, I would just look back on it, like anytime I needed to go, like, look at an old picture for reference or something, and I would just see the fakest smile on my face and just realize, like, how miserable I was the whole time. And I knew I was miserable when I was there. It's just that I always blamed it on the other girls. Like, we used to go out to lunch, you know, so nobody would, like, eavesdrop on us in the house.
Just the two of you?
Yeah, we would go to lunch and just talk about, like, oh my God, this is so miserable. This is so rough.
When while you're filming and stuff?
Well, even before we were filming.
Oh, okay.
There was
but
so
you,
much
you'd
drama.
Always been friendly.
Yeah,
you were always
for sure.
Good.
We were always close.
Oh, okay.
But I always thought, you know, if the other girls left, things would be great. That was kind of where my mindset was.
Right.
Until, like, the last minute, and then I decided to leave.
You know what's interesting about it all, which I'm sure you guys reflect, is, like, you know, when you watch documentaries on cults and polygamy and polygamous cults and how you just, you know.
Keep rationalizing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you just kind of think it like that. Or even if you're in, like, a work situation where there's, like, a boss that kind of sets the tone so that the minions or whatever actually start infighting where they go to lunch and they start talking about everybody but the boss who's actually creating this environment.
No, it's purposeful because he never wanted all of us to get together and be like, you know what? We don't feel like going out tonight. We just want to stay in. Like, he wouldn't want that. He wanted us competing against each other. So we had to, like, go along with what he wanted because everybody was trying to one-up everybody else.
Right. Okay, so now let's get to the place. So you guys are friendly. You're all living there with other people. You go out one night a week or two nights a week? How often are you, like, at a nightclub with a PR situation?
I'd say two nights a week. Did it kind of calm? No, it didn't. We didn't stop going out till after the show started filming. We were still going out two nights a week.
Yeah.
And because of that, like, PR situation, how did, I'm assuming that's where someone got the idea of this is a fabulous reality show. Like, where, how did it come about?
Well, A&E originally wanted to do a show because they were doing Growing Up Gotti at the time.
Yes, I remember
So they
that
wanted
show.
To do Growing Up Hefner about Hef's two kids.
The boys.
Yeah. And Hef was like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, I'm not a PTA dad. Maybe they'll want to do something else. So then the idea turned into, let's do a reality show about the staff at the mansion. So they shot a pilot, which was supposed to be about the staff at the mansion. We were in it a little bit, but it was more so supposed to be about the staff. A&E decided they didn't want it. They took it
to
they
didn't want to do a whole thing about Mary?
No. So they took it to E.
Mary, this is the booking secretary.
It was mostly about, like, the butlers and stuff.
Yeah, okay. Like, prepping for parties. It was kind of like upstairs, downstairs. Like, here's Hef and his girlfriends and all these party guests and celebrities.
Like a Downton Abbey, but for the...
Kinda, yeah. And then here's the staff trying to, like,
appease
cater
it all.
To all their needs.
Got it. Okay.
So they took it to E. E wanted it, but an executive at E said, I want it to be about the girls, though. I want it to be through their eyes.
Right, which is totally a smarter angle to go.
Yeah.
So then how is it presented that, like, we choose you? Or because at that time now, it is just the three of you living there?
Yeah, three of us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so there was no, like, casting choices.
No,
you were the three.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was under the impression that there was, like, more like five or six. And they found you guys, they chose the three of you because you did have the best personalities to be the official girlfriends featured in the show.
No, it was already narrowed down to three, so that's just what it
was. Oh, okay, okay. So how did they approach you, and were you nervous, or was this like a dream come true? Or what was your thoughts?
Well, we were not approached.
No.
We were just told. It was very much,
we were doing
like
it.
The way we were treated was kind of like the way a YouTube family will just throw their kids on the YouTube. Like,
yes.
You're here, you're doing this, this is what you're doing. Like, Hef even, like, walked by me in the hall one morning and was like, I've decided what your characters are going to be. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, we were just told you're doing this. So unless we want to, like, move out and, like, start
change your life.
Yeah, exactly. You have to go along with it.
And they basically told us that if you don't like it, you know where the door is, because there's lots of people that would want your position.
They didn't pay us for the first season.
Yeah, we weren't paid.
Like, they paid us. When they ordered more episodes, they finally paid us, but they didn't pay us.
And what were they paying you for the second season? Do you recall? I don't remember.
It was minimal, but it's not like I think I'm this big star with huge bargaining power back then, but I just wanted what was fair. Like, even if it's just like a couple thousand bucks an episode or something.
Yeah.
I don't even
but
think
just the fact that, just the fact that they didn't want to pay us anything and just expected us to do it as the main characters.
So you just signed a release.
Yeah, just a release. No contracts.
Okay, so... And you're like, now they're coming in. They got the mics on you. And that's when we get to see. So at that time, it is on the show that you share the room with Hef and you're the main. And you, I just kind of remember like you having your room and you had like a little dog.
Later on,
a lot of pink. Yeah. Okay. And then, which also too is like, such like a thing that like
such a 2000s reality TV trope.
No, but dogs. But like on the dark side, like a captive thing, like girls that are like held captive. It's like, all they want is like a little dog.
Oh, I had four.
You know what I mean? Like all they want is just like their little like personal friend.
Yeah. Aww.
Because it's like, so I'd like, so you have your room and then Kendra has her room. Mm-hmm. Okay. And now, and was your, now what was your like situation with your parents? Were they like excited about this? Were they okay that you were like living this unconventional Hef life? In the hopes that you'd be, like, a pathway to a bigger entertainment career? Like, what were their thoughts?
Yeah, they were fine with me being at the mansion, but I didn't tell them any details of what was going on. I just don't have that relationship with my parents where I would ever talk about anything, like, intimate or anything like that.
So before the show came out, they just thought you were at the mansion as an aspiring model.
Well, as Hef's girlfriend, but I think a lot of people knew that you were romantic with him.
Well, intimate,
a lot of people back then thought it was all publicity.
That it was fake.
Like, it was kind of like, I would say the public, they were kind of split. Like, no way they're all living there and not having sex. But also, no way, he's 75. This is all fake. Because it
was totally true.
Big part of his publicity.
I think it's, I think there's a lot of stuff throughout Hollywood where you're like, even like Pete and Kim, great publicity stunt. I'm like, no, and they were definitely fucking. Mm-hmm. But like, did it, was that... Did that contribute to them staying together? Was that a nice aspect of it? Probably. But, like, yeah, I think you're right with that. I remember people always – that was, like, a discussion we'd have.
All the time. Yeah. All the time. Any press I would do, they would ask, are you sleeping with them? And if I said yes, they'd be like, there's no way he's sleeping with all you young girls. And then if I said no, they're like, there's no way he's letting you girls stay there and you're not sleeping with them. And I'm like, yeah. So it doesn't – why do I even bother answering
this
question?
That's so interesting. Yeah. Okay, so you tell – what was your situation with your parents?
My parents were excited for me. They thought Playboy was so cool, and they thought Hef was such a gentleman. They came up and visited quite a bit. Like, they were very excited about
it. So neither of your parents had, like, any problem with the fact that you were, like, nude models?
No, you have to understand, like, I think both of our parents come from the generation where, like, Playboy was, like, the classiest magazine. Like, they remember growing up, they remember hearing about the Playboy clubs were, like, this chic place to be. So they thought it was cool. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we come from, like, super religious families where they're, like, nudity. Like, yeah, it's kind of like, okay, like, when you come from a small town, but not, like, a huge deal.
Yeah.
But with the, on the secrets of Playboy, which I thought was interesting, is that, like, then the fact, like, just how you guys signed that release for the show, that I thought that was so awful that these girls did photo shoots and things with 1,200 photos. And then, like, years later, those photos were being used and people were profiting off of them and they weren't. And you're like, oh, yeah, I guess that would happen. And as an actress and stuff, because, you know, I people don't understand how hard it was, like, for us, you know, like, to get an agent and to do all this. And you're like, yeah, if I say no, then I'm deemed difficult and, like, better that I just say okay,
yeah,
you know, and, like, at least I have a chance. If I act like no, it's like, so of course, and what's, like, a young 21-year-old going to know about contracts and, you know, do you own the intellectual property and all this kind of stuff? So, yeah, that's crazy. So when the show started, when it first aired, was it, how immediate was it that you guys started to, like, notice how popular it was and that it was, like, kind of life-changing?
Well, we knew it was popular because they would tell us that the ratings were so great. Like, every morning after an episode would air, you know, there would be, like, these mailboxes downstairs and they'd put a slip of paper in Hef's mailbox and it would say what the ratings were. So they always checked on that. So I knew it was a hit and I knew what, like, E's standard of a good rating was. But we didn't ever feel, I think, like extra famous or anything while we were there, because we always lived in this bubble where we were so much in Hef's shadow that nothing really changed. Like, yeah, when we went out, a few people like knew our names and stuff, but we just still kind of felt like we were in Hef's shadow. It just wasn't really that big of a change for us, I think. I think the worst part was, all of a sudden, you're being talked shit about online. And this was back in, like, the early days of, like, message boards and stuff. I didn't know everybody in the public eye got talked shit about. I thought it was just us.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, everybody hates us. This is the worst. It was,
the
like,
the e-message boards were rough.
The e-message boards were disgusting.
What would they say that was so mean?
Just, I mean, probably nothing that would be considered novel now, but just, like, gross stuff. Like, oh, my God, these whores. And they're so disgusting.
And just, you know, I mean, just everything you could think of that they would say they said.
And so now during that time, are all three of you still having regular sex with him?
It stopped at some point, because the thing with him was, the thing that kind of drove him before was, he was high off of all like the attention of going out with like the seven girlfriends and constantly trying to get new people upstairs. But then when the show came along, he loved the show, obsessed with the show. It was such a big ego boost for him that he didn't really care about going out or trying to get new people to sleep with him anymore. So everything really just calmed down.
Yeah, he was just kind of set with the way things were.
So things changed a lot across the board.
So you weren't bringing anyone new, but did the three of you still have to bone him regularly?
No, it stopped after a while.
So did you have to bone him, Holly, regularly?
No, that stopped after a while. Because I started working at the Playboy studio, too.
Right.
And I had to be up at the studio at 8, leave the house at 7.
Because you'd work in helping build the magazine.
Yeah. So I would go to bed even before he would go to sleep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There were a couple of times he would say, like, oh, maybe we should all, and Kendra and I would look at each other and be like, no, we're busy. Oh, we got to be up early. We're good.
He would say, maybe we all go out again or whatever.
Well,
or,
like, he would say, like, maybe we should have a picnic in the bedroom or something like that. Watch a movie together or something. And Kendra and I would be like, oh, yeah, I've got that interview early in the morning. No, not tonight.
And so did you ever, like, the two of you go out and be like, isn't this great that we don't have to fuck them anymore? This is wonderful. I'm loving that we, like, get to be on TV and, like, just kind of have a more independent life. Or
I don't remember having that conversation.
No, I don't remember ever. Knew,
but it's something that we wouldn't have even
I'll
had
have a
to...
Chinese chicken salad. And isn't this great that we don't have to bone up anymore?
Well, we were just like, isn't it great we don't have to deal with the drama with all those other girls anymore? Okay. That was more the thing that was, like, on my mind and, like, the big deal. And we were just so grateful that it was just the three of us and that we got along pretty well. And we had the opportunities that the show brought us. And just we had wanted to be in the magazine for so long, and we got to be in the magazine like 4 times after the show started. So we loved those opportunities. So just kind of everything about life there kind of improved after the show came along.
Yeah. And then during those years, the magazines, which people still bought magazines back then, they certainly don't now. Those issues were doing probably great because you guys had the show pushing it. And, okay, so it goes on for all, so like you're like sleeping in that big brown headboard room.
Yeah.
Was it a waterbed? I always imagined.
No,
it
looks like it though, doesn't it?
Because it looks like that leather would go around the waterbed.
But it's not.
Okay. And so you're in there every night still sleeping. Mm-hmm. At some point you never go, you know what? I bet you'd sleep better if I wasn't in there. Like you never thought to try to get out of it because you're no longer boning. Like it goes years without boning him.
Mm-hmm.
And he still insists that you, like, sleep next to him like a wife.
Yeah, well, the last time I think I asked for a room was maybe, like, before the show started, after all those girls moved out. I'm like, hey, there's extra rooms. Like, maybe I could take the smallest one down the hall just because to have more room for my stuff or, like, have, a moment of privacy. And he said no. And I was kind of conditioned not to ask for things because he would get really angry, snap at me, just put me in tears sometimes when we'd have some discussions. So I wasn't really asking for a lot when I lived there.
And we mentioned the two boys. Mm-hmm. So how old were they then? His two sons with, what was that wife's name?
Kimberly.
And wasn't it that Kimberly and the boys were like living in a house next door?
Yes.
Okay. And so how often would like those boys come around and did you have any relationship with them?
No, I wouldn't say we had any relationship with them. They were probably like 10 or 11 when we moved
in. Yeah, I was going to say like 9 and 11, something in there.
And he used to have family night on Tuesdays where like the kids and Kimberly would come over and they'd like watch a movie. And we just like steered clear and didn't really.
And sometimes the boys would come over and run around the property and like they were like into kind of trying to film little movies and writing little newspaper
type things. But it was rare. Like I didn't see them around a lot.
Not all the time, but yeah. They were here and there.
And did you have any relation with Kimberly?
No, I thought she was so intimidating. I thought she was so scary.
Yeah. Have you ever, did you ever talk to her since? Like, have, like, a gab session after he died or after you were broken up with him or anything?
I think it's pretty safe to say we wouldn't get along. She led this whole thing after the A&E documentary came out. She got all these people together to, like, sign a petition to say that, like, Hef's a great guy. So I don't think we'd get along. But
oh, okay.
I only talked to her, like, once the whole time I lived there. It was very early on after I moved in. I was working out in the gym, and she was down in the gym. And she just said, hi, I'm Kimberly. And that was it.
And do you think like, first of all, why do you think they got married, and then why do you think they got divorced?
Well, I think he was going through a lot in his life. He just had a stroke. It was the 80s, like the AIDS crisis. Nobody's, like, having casual sex anymore. He's already old. There's no Viagra. It probably only made sense for him. No, there's all these reasons. Like, I'm not even making excuses. Like, there's all these reasons. Because he would always tell me that he'd been so miserable being married. And I'm like, well, why'd you get married then? And there were
To the first wife, who's the mother of, like, the girl, right?
No, the first wife was back in, like, the 50s.
Right.
Yeah. And then his second wife, he got married in the 80s, like, 89.
Right. But yeah. He has one daughter from the first wife, right?
A daughter and a son, yeah.
Okay. So mm-hmm. then he had all those years, and then he marries Kimberly mm-hmm. in 89.
Yeah.
And they have the two boys. Mm-hmm. And then why do you think they divorced? Was he just still wanting to... Was that when Viagra came out and then she didn't want to be with a cheater?
Coincidentally, it was when Viagra came out. But I don't think that's why I don't really know. You'd have to ask her. But I think Kimberly just wanted to, like, travel more and do more things. And eventually there was from his side of the story is there was a New Year's Eve party and she left and took the kids to Hawaii, which I kind of find it hard to believe somebody would, like, do that last minute and not just ditch somebody at a New Year's Eve party. So I don't know what her side of the story was. But his side of the story was that he was, like, ditched at a New Year's Eve party. So
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. And, okay, so then, so the show goes on, and then how does it come to an end? And so, like, for the three of you, I know it went on for, like, one more season with those two other girls. Mm-hmm. But, like, you guys were on it for how many years?
Five seasons.
Okay, yeah. And then how did it... And then did you all three leave at the same time, the show?
It ended up kind of being like that. Kendra kind of stopped participating around season four. Like, if you watch season four, she's all of a sudden not really in it as much.
Oh, okay.
And wanted to go do her own thing. Wanted to go do her own thing. And E decided to do a spinoff with her. And then Bridget got a job doing a show for Travel Channel.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
So you were going to leave and do that. But I kind of always felt like you would go do that. And you know when you're filming a reality show, you're really only filming like 6 months a year max. I kind of felt like I don't know what your plan was, but I kind of felt like you would go do that and then come back and do Girls Next Door.
I was thinking that too. I kind of had one foot out the door. Like, I was wanting to date and stuff. So I was sort of thinking about moving out, but I still thought there was time and I would go film the beaches, come back, film Girls Next Door, leave, go to beaches.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, I had planned on staying. I loved my job at the studio and everything. And they had planned on Girls Next Door just continuing and being more inclusive of, like, the Playmates and the girls at the studio. And it would be kind of more about that. But
more like about the business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I decided to leave because after Bridget and Kendra left, things just got... I mean, there were other things too. Like, I was getting a little bit older and I wanted to have kids. And Bridget and Kendra left and Hef just got so hard to deal with that I couldn't do it. I just left suddenly. And the producers of the show... And the producer of the show was so mad at me because he had planned on the show to keep going. And so he was really angry I left, but... I had to do
so that storyline that we would see that was like, Holly is like, when am I getting my ring? Why aren't I getting married? What was that not true? Was that not something you ever really wanted? Or was it something like, I put in my years and I do want to get married. I do want to be Mrs. Hefner.
No, I did want it. But I will say that I played into it on the show more and they love to repeat things. So right. I swear I'm not that obnoxious in real life. Like, I'm not like, when are we getting married? But I thought it was kind of funny on the show to joke about it. Like, if I was throwing a baby shower and I had a baby outfit, I was like, oh, this is cute. I wish I could have one. Like, I said that kind of stuff thinking it would be funny on the show. And it was.
Right. And it kept up with the drama,
too. So it was true, but I'm not that annoying, I swear to God.
Yes. So when did you, like, okay, so you're doing the travel show, so and then the show ended, as the three girls, like, how did that happen? Because you did say, I want to move out. I am done with you.
Yeah, I said, I'm done. I'm moving out. And we
and
would
what
have
was
been...
that day that you finally were like, this is it?
I know what day it was. Well, I don't actually know the day.
Yeah,
day,
but you know what I mean? Like, what was the moment, that like, aha moment, this is it. I've thought about it for a long time, and this is it, and this is why, and I'm not turning back. Like, what was that?
It was a lot of things leading up to it, like I said, with the relationship. And, like, we'd done in vitro and, like, that.
Oh, you had?
Yeah.
This was the real deal.
With half sperm?
Yes. And it didn't work, and it was because
of the
sperm.
Yeah, was that on the show?
Yeah. It wasn't on the show because we wanted to keep it secret. Because, you know, when you're trying to get pregnant, you don't want to, like, necessarily.
Right, right.
I mean, some people do.
But, I mean, I feel like that now is the storyline for every reality show, is someone freezing their eggs or going through in vitro.
But if you watch the show, there's reference to it. Like in season 4, I'm leaving to go to Jamaica and I go, you know, saying, oh, if we got married, I wouldn't go on so many trips. Not that I'm even going on so many trips. I was going one trip for my sister's wedding and like 7 years of living there. But and then he goes, well, let's work on the baby first. And that was while we were doing in vitro. So he makes comments, but like we hadn't come out and like said anything.
And not only that, but I did the egg retrieval while we were doing it. And I wanted it to be on the show because I thought it was really important, especially back then.
Yeah.
People weren't really talking about it yet.
Right.
And they refused to show it because it showed me thinking of a life that wasn't revolving around the mansion.
Got it.
Yeah. They wouldn't even show that I was in real estate school because they wanted it to look like I had no outside aspirations besides Hef.
Yeah. We were supposed to look like we were never going to leave there, that this was our life and forever.
Yeah. Yeah. So with so did you actually do an in vitro, like the embryo went in you?
No, because his sperm didn't work.
That's
so it didn't even get that
far. That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
So was it shocking when you heard in The Secrets of Playboy that the one twin – so then the twins came after you.
Yeah.
The twins came after that. You're featured in The Secrets of Playboy. And one of the twins says she got pregnant by having the regular sex with Hef and you know, went forward with an abortion. What is your thoughts? Like, did that surprise you then?
Well, I'm never going to say I don't believe anybody's story because I wasn't there and
right.
anything can happen. But it's surprising.
Yeah,
you know, considering, I know.
It's surprising for any man that age.
Yeah.
Like,
for any man that age. And then after he's already done, tried to do the in vitro stuff.
Right.
And it was unsuccessful.
But yes. Anything can happen.
But yeah, you just never know.
Like,
yeah,
I don't like it when people come for my story and say, well, I was there in the 70s and it wasn't like that. I'm like, you don't know. You weren't there when I was there, you know.
Yeah.
I always say whenever somebody says that, I'm like, you know, I'm sure there were a million waiters and busboys that said O.J. Simpson was the nicest guy in the world.
There probably still are.
Exactly. Because someone's experience doesn't mean that their experience wasn't their experience. But just because you had a great experience with someone doesn't mean that person's story is not true.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe, you know, and also with a situation like that, a guy like Hef or a guy, you know, like, they know who to pursue. And who to just be like, hey, hope you had a good time at the party. Bye-bye.
100%.
Like, you know, who's the vulnerable one? Who's the one that can be manipulated? Especially a guy that's been doing it for 80 fucking years. Like, they're really good at it at that point.
Yeah.
Choosing who's going to be accommodating and who's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you never saw anybody in the group when we were there that ever had, like, any, like, wealth or career or really anything like that. It was always girls who are hard up.
That didn't have anything to fall back on. Right. That are going to put up with it because what would they do?
Yeah.
You know? So in doing this, were you able to stop, like, sock some money away? Because you said now they're paying you a little bit. And I know when Kendra was here, she was like, she was able to make a little bit of money doing, like, appearances and stuff, and that she was kind of trying to save, but then they would try to take that, like, they didn't like that you could, like, go do a club appearance for $5,000 or whatever. So did you guys find that to be the case as well?
Well, I definitely did save a ton of money, and I started investing in real estate.
Uh-huh.
Like, I went to school for real estate investment, so I was always watching my back and trying to, like, build a future for myself because, you know, you always kind of felt, too, at the mansion, like, the rug could be pulled out from you at any moment, or he could die at any moment, you know? So
and if he died, it's not like you were, like, in a will.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you weren't a wife. You didn't have a kid with him. So, yeah, you'd just be screwed. Like, they'd probably be, like, knocking on your door the next day.
For sure.
Pack up your little dog and like, yeah.
And out.
Yeah.
So you come back and you guys are all like, okay, you've got your travel show, you've got stuff cooking. You're like, okay. And when you tell him, so what was the day?
Okay. So it was all this stuff leading up to it. So I was kind of ready to go anyway, but I was in Vegas working on a Playmate shoe and I went out to eat with somebody whose name I'd rather not mention.
Uh-huh.
But when I was talking to this guy who I thought was cute and realized, oh, I could have feelings for this guy. Like nothing happened, but I realized I could have feelings for this guy. And then Hef called the next morning and was like, I had security following you the whole time. You need to get back here, you know. And I was like, I can't do this. I can't. Like it's done
so
today.
So you go to like a lunch and you have like a little flirty lunch, but nothing happens. And you find out later. You had no idea that you were being followed and like under surveillance.
Absolutely not.
That is so creepy.
Yeah, it's so creepy.
And so how old are you at that point?
I was 29.
And so how do you tell him I'm done?
Well, the next day I told him, you know, I think I'm moving out, you know, I want to get married and have kids someday. Like, that's an easy excuse to give. It's true. And it's something he can't do, like, physically. And he didn't want to let it go. He kept trying to convince me to stay. He even did put me in his will, left the will on my side of the bed so I could see it.
And what did it say?
I'd get $3 million when he died. But, you know, my mind was made up. And
yeah.
I packed up my stuff and I left.
And, okay, so then go. One of the things from the show, as I remembered, is that you guys did have, I want to say maybe it was one episode, but I feel like there were several episodes where you guys did go to Vegas as a foursome,
mm-hmm.
You know, on the Playboy and go to the Playboy suite and everything at the Palms.
But we had to fly right back and be home by 9 o'clock.
Even if he was with you or not if he was?
Oh, not if he was with us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would go sometimes.
And I remember that was the first time, the 9 o'clock thing. And I just thought that was so weird. And then like Kendra said, you know, because there was the 9 o'clock curfew, she still kind of dated, but she'd have to like do it in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Like you could go off and do lunch and stuff.
You could do whatever you wanted during the day, but you had to be home by 9 o'clock. And Kendra was hardly ever around during the day.
But obviously security wasn't following you guys then. Otherwise, he would have known.
They could have been. But yeah, he would have known.
They might have been. I always felt like Hef kind of knew Kendra wasn't going to stick around that long though. So maybe he did know. I think he did know.
I'm pretty sure he did know.
Because of some security he did have with her on some trips. I think he knew, but just was like, whatever, it's working for the show.
So you get your variety show at the Planet Hollywood. And they also say, we'll follow the cameras. You have a reality show part of it, right? They were filming it?
So I wanted to do a spinoff about my life in Vegas, and I was just shopping it around with a manager. But then when E! Expressed interest, because of the contracts we had to sign before season 5 of Girls Next Door, I had to do it with the same production company that did Girls Next Door.
Got
that
it.
Was locked in, according to the contract. So I think Kevin, the producer, was excited about doing my show once it started, but he hated me in between Girls Next Door and that show. Like, he used to write open letters to the message board, like, just making me sound like a horrible person.
From him?
Yes, he signed it. Like, I could go online and find it. Stacey put it on her blog.
And what was he basically saying?
He was saying that I had been over Hef for years and that I was dating this other guy behind his back the whole time, which wasn't true, and that I was mad because I didn't get my own spinoff, which nobody was ever talking about. He was just trying to make me sound like the villain, like I ruined the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when it ended for you, then you were doing the travel thing. And how often were you guys all talking? And at this point, was Kendra not really close to you guys anymore? Or did you go to her wedding?
Yeah. You know what? When we were leaving, I loved Kendra. I mm-hmm. thought that like we had like kind of our sibling rivalry while we were there. But I felt like after she was with Hank, she just seemed like so much more mature and so happy. And I feel like we were all three just so happy for each other and the direction our lives were going. Like, we all got together to do commentary for seasons 4 and 5 of Girls Next Door after we moved out. And you can even hear in the commentary, like, we're just getting along. We're all happy for each other.
Yeah.
So that was then.
And
so
we were in the wedding.
You were in the wedding.
We were in the wedding. Mm-hmm. We stayed in contact. I threw her baby shower. Like,
and so what happened then? Was it that when you wrote your book, Down the Rabbit Hole, and you became pretty frank about things. Is that when she kind of was like, I disagree, and cooled on hanging out?
No, it was before then, because I was doing my spinoff. She was doing her spinoff. We have Kevin, the producer, doing both.
But was her spinoff was on E2 or was
– Yeah, it was on
okay.
E2. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's doing the spinoffs, and then – and I go into more detail about it on my book. But things got weird with me and Kendra, and I felt like he was encouraging that. Like, he wanted us fighting. He wanted drama. He wanted me to come on her show and, like, brag about how much money I was making in Vegas so she'd get a little poke in the ass to take more jobs to make her show more interesting. I don't know. That's what he told me. And things got weird between us, and it got to the point eventually where I had a falling out with that producer. I was on the phone screaming with him, and he admitted to me that he wanted us to not get along because he thought it would be good publicity.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't want any part of that bullshit. You know, I'm pregnant. I don't want to be stressed out. I don't want to be fighting with people and looking like shit in tabloids for publicity that benefits your dumb show. Like, bye.
Yeah. And
so by the time I wrote this, I was mad. I was mad at him. I was mad at Kendra.
Okay. So then, and then the next book came out, The Vegas Diaries. And in this, where are you in your life talking about what's going on here at this point?
Oh, I was talking about my life in Vegas and just lessons I learned dating, but like I don't drop names or anything like that.
Yeah. And at this point, you're married when you write the second book.
I was married when I wrote the first one. Okay. And my husband was always super supportive of me telling the truth about my experience.
So then when did you guys – now, what's your situation? Are you single? What's happening, Bridget?
No, I met somebody almost right away. Like, I actually met him at the mansion, and we've been dating ever since. We've been together for 14 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're like a Goldie Hawn and – like, do you think you'll ever get married, or that why get married? Or,
yeah, no, we're going to. We've been engaged. There's like a lot of reasons why we haven't done it yet, but yeah, we plan to for sure.
But you don't have kids,
no.
And you guys live here in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. What did you think of the Secrets of Playboy? Because you were not a part of it, right? Or
I did do one day of interviewing.
Okay,
they put almost nothing that I said in there. My experience and looking back on my experiences with Hef and the mansion are pretty positive. I would say 98% of it is positive. There were a few stories that I had of things that I didn't think were quite right or whatever, and those are the only stories that they used. And they used them to pretty much like kind of
back up what I was saying.
Back up Holly's stories. And so I didn't watch it, so I didn't see which ones they chose.
I didn't even watch my episode. They did 12 episodes. I watched all of them except episode 2, just because I don't want to watch myself talk about my trauma again. I can't take it. But every other episode I watched, and it came out over the course of 12 weeks, I had nightmares after I watched them.
Yeah,
You know what? I feel like I did too. And yes. It's not like I was ever there. Because being that it was once a week, and it's like,
it drags on the suspense.
It. Yeah. It's interesting, like, because there's all these, like, documentaries. And I was joking the other day on my show. I'm like, isn't it weird that we grew up, like, never watching a documentary, and now that's all anybody talks about or watches? And so it's like, when you watch, like, a documentary that's, like, a three-part or four-part, and you watch it all in one night, and it's disturbing, you're like, woo! You have one bad, and then you forget it. But this was, like, every week. And then they even are, like,
adding stuff.
Yeah, now we have another one, because people came forward. Yeah. And it was just, like,
traumatic.
It was really traumatic, even for people that, like, have nothing to do with
it. I didn't watch it, but I still got messages about it, and people I knew were watching it and telling me things.
Yeah.
And then there'd be, like, little snippets on, like, news outlets, and I'd just be like, oh, I don't want to know this stuff.
And so what about what did you think when he married his last wife, Crystal?
I mean, there's so many things to think. There was the whole runaway bride debacle.
Right. So what happened? They were engaged, but then she bailed?
Bailed, and then they got married.
Wasn't it like the night before the wedding or something? Or like
something
2 days before the wedding
like
or something, like right before. And it was a Lifetime special. So bailed on the whole TV show and everything.
Oh, it was going to be. I thought you were just like, it's like a Lifetime movie. No, like,
no, it was
really was going to be a filmed Lifetime special.
Yes.
And she really just left the day before. And then, this like vaguely coming back to me. And then what happened? Then how later did she come back then?
I think maybe a year or two. I'm not really sure on the timeline.
Oh, I thought it was quicker than that, but I don't remember either.
And then, so she was with him all the way till the end, till he passed.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did a tweet that went quite public because she tweeted to you,
yeah,
about the fact that it got revealed in the Secrets of Playboy that there were all like there were video cameras in the room, and so there were all this.
I don't
footage.
Think that, I hope there weren't not, video cameras.
Maybe not videos.
We were there.
Was it photos? Sorry.
Yeah.
Photos. Mm-hmm. There are photos of all you guys. And then she said, I did find all the photos and I threw them out.
Yeah, thank God.
And and that was also kind of nice because she did, otherwise yeah. she didn't participate in this.
Yeah.
And which I can understand why. Like,
well, it's scary. Like, I didn't even want to do it. Like, I admire the director's work, and we'd had some amazing, really long conversations about it. But for the longest time, I didn't want to do it because I'm like, I already wrote my book. I said what I need to say. Sitting down and doing, like, a day – I mean, I did two interviews with them, and one of them lasted all day. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to sit and talk about my trauma again. Like, I did not want to do it. Eventually, I finally decided to do it just because I knew so many other women were coming forward, and I know what it feels like to come forward and not have anybody have your back. So I wanted to be supportive of that. But even after that, I was scared because I'm like, how are they going to edit me? Are they going to make me sound like I said something I didn't say? So it was scary. Like, I had very mixed feelings going into it.
And yeah, and I mean, I think she's like living a great life now, and well, I mean, she seems happy. She's with some cute young guy.
Yeah.
I went on Instagram. I'm like, wow, that's a switch. Let's talk about the girls' next level and like what you've recorded and what you've like. Just talk about it, like what you think, because I think it is such a mm-hmm. cool reflection, really.
Well, it started out with Holly doing YouTube videos.
Yeah, I had people request on my YouTube channel, like, react to an episode of Girls Next Door. So I did a couple. The first three were hard to watch. And you know now, going back and watching them, it's really emotional. Like, I feel like we were done so dirty in those first couple of episodes. So
how is it, tell me, Bridget, like, how is it when you look at it? Like, what? Because you just went, like, you just, like, had a
visceral
reaction.
Because Holly warned me that the first three episodes were really hard to watch. And when she said that, I thought she just meant, like, kind of just getting used to watching them again. And once you get past, like, three episodes, you're good. I didn't realize until I just watched them, I just watched them, not last night, but the night before, and I'm still traumatized. Like, I'm sick to my stomach.
Why?
I can't sleep. I've been crying.
Really? What yes. makes you sick to your stomach?
The way we were portrayed. And I just...
And how were you portrayed that wasn't real for you?
For me? Or
like,
for
how
all,
it,
both
how
of
is
us?
It, how do you feel that you were portrayed... And it's upsetting you because that wasn't your authentic self.
If you want, I could jump in with one thing
yes,
we did in that episode, if it's easier.
Yeah.
That I think is messed
yeah.
up. They make it look like Bridget is, like, plying all the new playmates with drinks to, like, mess them up for their shoot the next day because she's jealous, which isn't what she said at all, but they cut and paste it. So it looks like she's literally trying to, like, shove shots in everybody's face because she wants to sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's messed up and... borderline
and
illegal.
And what I was talking about in
yeah, and just, and yeah, if it's not true, that's just shitty. Yeah.
Yeah, and they, it's absolutely not true. And
yeah.
I don't plan the going out schedule or how much girls drink or what,
yeah.
you know, like I have no control over that stuff. But what it boils down to is that I had wanted Playmate so bad, like way long before I'd even been to the mansion. I tested before I even lived at the mansion. And I was talking about my insecurities with that and how jealous that I was when I see all these girls coming and going and getting it and making Playmate of the Year and all this stuff. And it's really, really hard to watch. And so I can't help but be critical sometimes of them, like, oh, she kind of has a bad boob job or maybe her hair, you know,
yeah.
needs to be different, whatever. And they just took that and made it look like I was ridiculing everybody that came, that I was just this jealous bitch, that I was getting people drunk and sabotaging their pictorials. And even little things, too. There was tiny things that at first, when I was first watching it, I was like, oh, they're just trying to be funny in the edit. But like, I would joke with somebody. A girl came in wearing a similar dress to me, and I was like, oh, she's like, oh, I hope you don't mind. And I say, no, I totally mind. Take it off. And then I laugh, and we're just joking because we're really great friends. But they take out the laugh and that I'm just joking, and it shows me saying, no, I want you to take it off. And just leaving it at that. And just like, and there were, and I, at first I thought, it's just a reality show, so I'm not going to like, you know what I
right.
mean? Like, they do stuff like that. But then when you start seeing it consistently to her and I,
and only us. They
only
never
us.
Did that to
yeah.
Kendra. Ever.
So we are immediately well, in episode one being made out to be the bitches.
Right. That is true. And maybe that was the Hef character thing. When he said, I have your characters planned, do you recall what he wanted your characters to be?
I don't think that part came from him. I think that came from the executive producer. And that's confusing, too, because we went on to feel like we had a close friendship with Kevin. And now as we get older and look back and see what he did, it's really, it's a bad feeling. But Hef wanted me to be completely devoted to him. He was like, you're the one who cares about me. Bridget's the one who wants a career. And Kendra's the one who wants to have fun. Like, that was his idea of what our characters were. But I think it was more the producer who wanted the drama and wanted us to look mean and, you know, didn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Holly, I haven't watched all the episodes. She has, because she's been doing the YouTube videos. But I've only watched up to episode 3 right now. And I am traumatized.
Yeah.
No, when I did those first reaction videos, I was telling the viewers, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to continue these because they're not great for my mental health. Like, I just come off watching, like, The Secrets of Playboy, and then I'm watching this, and I'm like, I don't have the bandwidth for this.
That's what I told Holly. I said, I don't know if I can keep watching these. I'm literally sick over this. Yeah. And she was like, no, it gets better, I swear. And I was like, I think I need to go to bed. And so I, like, went to bed early. I thought, maybe if I just sleep on it in the morning, I'll feel better about it. I woke up the next morning. I was yesterday. Sick to my stomach.
Do you have dreams? Has he, like, do you?
I couldn't
sleep. Do you have dreams, though? Like, are you a dreamer that has, like, vivid dreams?
I never remember. I rarely remember my dreams. Very rarely. So
do
maybe.
Do you have vivid dreams?
I do. And I had a nightmare. I was back at the mansion every single night after Secrets of Playboy.
Because sometimes when I'm, like, either read something or something's on my mind, I'll, like, I have very vivid dreams where I can remember the next day. And I'm like, oh my God, like, bitch, get out of my dream. Like, why did you come back? Like, exactly. What the fuck? Like, I haven't thought about you in like 3 years. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But something will happen and that person's there and it's like very strange how that works. Yeah.
Ugh. I was just like, I don't know if I can do this. And she's like, I swear it gets better. So I'm hoping. I'm hoping it gets better from here. But
it'll probably be a good, like, therapeutic and in the end kind of fun, hopefully.
Oh, no, I think it will, especially us being able to talk together and being able to be so candid on a podcast. Like, you can't say anything really on YouTube without getting flagged. So that's what inspired me to do the podcast, is there's so much more I wanted to say that you can never say on YouTube without getting your channel shut down. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she called me one day and she was like, you know, I've been doing these on the YouTube, but there's so much more I want to say. Would you ever be willing to, like, do a podcast about it? And I was like, and like I said, my whole experience looking back on it is, like, 95-98% whatever positive. I don't have ill feelings to Kendra or Hef or Kevin or anybody. And so I was like, yeah, I totally would do it.
Yeah, and sometimes time, you know, it's like time heals all wounds. Sometimes it is the time. Like, sometimes it does take a long time to get over something, especially when it's a relationship and work and in the big, you know, public eye. Mm-hmm. It's like a threefold, you know. When you guys were, like, at the mansion doing stuff, would any, like, of these old crony friends of his, would they ever, like, hit on you or be like, can you bring a girl for me or anything?
They definitely knew not to come anywhere near any of Hef's girls.
There was, like, a golden rule. They were barely allowed to talk to us.
Mm. And what did you think of that part in it? Oh, God. in the Secrets of, there's just, like, coming to me.
I know, there's so much.
Where the doctor that you said you met the doctor, and there was, like, I want to say I saw it on there, like, that there were, that the daughter thought maybe they had a romantic relationship, Hef and the doctor. Like, there were things that came in later that, like, I remember hearing, like, that he, when he was having sex, had male porn on. And that kind of thing, which kind of came out later.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of all those stories?
Well, I think maybe they were both in the same orgy in the 70s or possibly something like that. But when I was with Hef, I was really liked his doctor. And I never sensed, like, they were close friends, but I never sensed anything, like, romantic or sexual between them. And I always felt like the doctor was super supportive of my and Hef's relationship, too.
Yeah.
But also, like, things change over the decades. Like, things might have been completely different in the 70s than they were in the 2000s. So I don't know what went on back then.
Right. They might have had some special... Maybe. Bond.
Yeah, maybe they grew out of it and the relationship evolved. I don't know.
Right. Or maybe it was one of those things that because he saw himself as such, like, a sexual revolutionary person, maybe he tried it.
Oh, no, he definitely tried it. Like, he's admitted to that. So
he's tried. He's had gay sex.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But, you know.
But that was
I don't know about him and his doctor.
Oh, my God.
But it's crazy because if you like Google or like I Googled something about it and then an article came up that was like the love of Hef's life and it showed a picture of the doctor and I'm like, he would turn in his grave. It was just so weird.
Right. Yeah. Well, tell everybody where they can follow you guys and listen to the show and all of that.
You can find Girls Next Level anywhere you find podcasts. You can follow Girls Next Level _ podcast on Instagram. I'm Holly Madison on Instagram. She's Bridget Marquardt on Instagram.
Yes.
And it was so great. I had such a good time. Thank you for being like letting me like ask all the juicy questions and answering them all and being canic. I think it's so interesting and I'm excited for this. I think it'll be a big hit.
Thank you.
Thanks.